19. And here we are. We are in verse 105. So we're moving right through this chapter. And let's go ahead and read this section of 8 verses. The Bible says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I have sworn, and I will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgments. I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according unto thy word. Accept, I beseech thee, thy free will offering of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me thy judgments. My soul is continually in my hand, yet I do not forget thy law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I erred not from thy precepts. Thy testimonies have taken a heritage, thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. I have inclined mine heart to perform thy statutes always, even unto the end." Let's go ahead and pray. Father in heaven, Lord, I love you. I ask your blessing upon the message tonight. Lord, I pray that the truth that we are seeing here in these 8 verses, I pray that it would be clear. Lord, I certainly know I need your grace and your help with that. Lord, I pray for it. I pray it would draw us and strengthen us, Lord, closer to you, strengthen our walk. Lord, please bless. Lord, if there's anyone here who does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, Lord, we certainly do pray for that. And we pray that even tonight they would repent and place their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we love you. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Again, we are well over halfway through now this chapter of 176 verses, 22 sections of 8 verses. Again, after this one, we'll have 8 left. And an amazing chapter designed to help us to see how practical the Word of God should be in our life. And this is a great section for that, of where we're at right now. And remember why we ran into this chapter to begin with, back the introductory message to this, which would have been June of last year, I believe. I believe I started this right on the very first Sunday of June of 2018 when we began going through Psalm 19. And because many times we come to the Word of God, we have different presuppositions that are in place in our own thoughts about how we see it, about how we view it, and some of what we think we need to have corrected. It hinders us, it hinders the Bible from bearing the fruit that it needs to in our life because of how we approach the Word of God. We lack the ability to make it practical. We believe it's a good book. We even call it God's Word and whatnot. But to actually have it make a difference, there seems to be a disconnect nowadays from it being very practical in our life. We hear much of the power of the Word of God, and it certainly is true. But again, we see little of that power in our everyday life. We read it as a hammer. We see it as a light, as in our verse, or as a sword, or as fire, or as bread, or etc. But rarely do we actually experience that in our own life. And a lot of times it's because we approach it simply as a magic book. We don't know how to make it practical. We think if we just open it up, poof, there's a change that occurs. That's not how this works. Again, and this chapter really gives you a proper view of God's Word so that it can do the work. It can bear the fruit in your life that it was designed to bear, that it can do. And so the approach of this chapter was to change how you view the Word of God, if that was needed. A paradigm shift in your thinking so that it can begin to bear fruit in your life, so that it changes you, where it makes a difference. Think of this. We have a psalmist here. As we're going through this, you realize that. He's a very real person with a lot of real struggles. Whoever he is, and remember, I spent I spent probably 15, 20 minutes to a half hour trying to elaborate on who I believe the author is. We don't know who the author is. Some say David, some say Daniel, some say Ezra. And I made my case of believing why I believe it is Ezra who is in fact the author of Psalm 119. But whoever it is, which one of those three, they were facing some very powerful and very real struggles in their life. They had some real enemies that were after them. And the man is facing serious issues in life. He is battling depression. At times, not sure what God is doing or understanding why God is doing that. Remember when we were in Psalm 119, verse 81. He said, "My soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word." I'm still clinging. My eyes fail for thy word, saying, "When wilt thou comfort me?" See, listen, I'm still here. I'm still in your word. But he's being honest before God. I don't see it doing anything for me right now. I'm not seeing the fruit of it. It gets into his tears. And he says, "For I am become like a bottle in the smoke." It make it useless. For I do not forget thy statutes. And again, it really is an incredible section right there. So it's a real person with flesh like you and me who's writing this. You've seen the ups and downs of his life as he's going through Psalm 176. Again, it really is amazing. It has taught him, I think in one of the sections we're at near the beginning of this, how to take where his soul was cleaving to the dust of this earth, and by the end of that, he was running with God. He has learned how important the Bible is and how he needs it on an everyday basis. That it more than just represents his religion. That it more than just represents his faith. But he's learned how to use it every day. This section, I think, is a really practical help to us in learning how to use the Bible. We have perhaps, again, one of the most popular verses in the entire psalm in this section in verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's part of the pledge that we have to the word of God along with verse 11. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. It's a great verse. I would imagine the majority of us in here could have quoted 105, verse 105. The fact is, though, many miss how practical the Word of God is. The Bible remains abstract in their life. They fail to make it practical. They read it, but it doesn't seem to do anything. Too often it's looked upon, again, as some type of magic book or something like that, and that is not the case. We need the ability to make it practical and to be a real help in everyday decisions that we make. In our text, we begin to see how practical it can be. We're going to see how it gives direction, how it provides defense, how it should be our delight, and it provides a drive for our life. And that's the outline I've just given to you. So number one, let's drive into this. Let's look and see how it gives direction. And that's going to be half of this section of eight verses, the first four verses, 105, 6, 7, and 8. Let's read those verses again. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I have sworn and I will perform it. That I will keep thy righteous judgments. I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according unto thy word. Accept, I beseech thee, the freewill offering of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me thy judgments. It's clear in these verses how well the Bible does give direction, how it goes about it. First off, in verse 105, we see that it gives direction in our walk. God's word is that lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. That deals with darkness and daylight. In the night, it's that lamp. And it provides the light for the day for you. It is our light for the day, for our path. Keep in mind, back in, of course, Asia, this part of the world during this time, there were no fixed lamps in this part of the world. You got to think of this in a city setting. You would need a lamp at night to walk. You would need something. You need a lantern to walk with, and that's exactly what they would use. Or you're going to step into sewage. You're going to trip and fall. You just don't go out without that. You need that light for your path. And so he's comparing God's word to that. And what we needed in a real way is God's word to be a light for our life, where it's a light both day and both night. Spurgeon, let me quote from him right here. I love his quote. He was talking about verse 105, and he said this. He's speaking of the Bible in general in relation to verse 105. He said, it is not sent to astound us with its brilliance, speaking of the Bible, but to guide us by its instruction. It's not just there to wow you by the different things that are there, but it's supposed to be practical in an everyday sense in your life, where it really is guiding your life. We just don't understand really how that takes place. How does God's word affect our path? How does it guide my feet? Too often we think of this in big decisions in life. Like back in 2000, the year 2000 to 2001, when I surrendered to go to PNG. We think of something major like that. You know, with God's will, I'm heading to New Guinea. It's not dealing with things like that at all right here. That's not what it means. It's nothing major like that it's dealing with. This is addressing your everyday path, decisions that you make. You say, well, how does that take place? You see, when you get into God's word, it has knowledge that you need. It does. It's not just, it has knowledge that you need. I've been in counseling with different people whose Christian life are struggling greatly. Usually there's always something wrong with the devotion. Not usually, 100% of the time. He said, no, I'm in the Bible. I'm in the Bible every day. Every day. And it was an enormous amount, actually. I said, every day. Every day you're in that. But as we dove into it, it was just reading it. There was zero prayer time with that. None. It's not just you look at the words and change occurs. It has knowledge that you genuinely need in your life on an everyday basis. I'm going to try and make this as practical as possible. We know that it has knowledge that we need, and this knowledge should be impacting the decisions you make. It takes meditation upon God's Word for that to be effective, along with God's Holy Spirit. When you combine those things, you're able to use the knowledge in a wise manner for decisions you make every day. Again, that process leads you to having the ability to make good decisions in your life. You know what the Bible has just become to you when that takes place? A light. It is providing practical direction for your life. It becomes a light. Let me give an example. You're at work and an ethical issue comes up. You have to know how to respond. Whether it's something major or something minor, knowledge from this Bible should affect that decision. It should guide it. As a Christian who's growing, you should not be in a place where I don't know what to do. I mean, if you do, seek counsel, of course. That's always a possibility, but you should know what to do, especially if you've been saved. And think about that. You'll have Christians that genuinely don't know what to do. They might have even read through the Bible several times. They've been in church for years, but they don't know what to do. You've never made the Bible practical. You've never used the knowledge that you've gained in a practical way. You might have thought it was good. You might have thought it was great. You might have saw different things, but you never made the conscious decision to take the principles that you have and use them in how you decide things in life. Sometimes it's easy. I remember I was faced with an ethical issue as a young airman. I was probably in my first year or two in the Air Force. And I remember that the chief came down and I was an E2, I think. So I am nothing. I finally have one stripe. In E1 in the Air Force, you have nothing. So I'm an E2. And the generals were still in charge of the base. So there's a general who's in charge, a one star. And he was coming down for some function. I don't remember what it was. The only time in the 4 to 5 years I was there that the general ever came to our shop. And it had changed command 3 times, I think, in the years that I was there. And so I wasn't there that long. The general was coming down there doing this big thing for him. And at the end, he had something. I don't know what the issue was. I could really care less at the time. Something going with beer. So they're having this pitcher of beer for him. They're going to pour him a glass of beer. And it was going to be handed to him as the final thing. Well, I got assigned as the unerman to pour the glass of beer when he got in there. Well, if you think I'm pouring a glass of beer for a general, you're mistaken. It's not going to happen. And so I was really kind and gracious. Obviously, I'm nervous as anything. It's not like I'm going into this with boldness to go into the chief's office and say, I can't do that. And he laughed it off. He had to see I was nervous. I did not want to go in there. I'm still brand new in the Air Force. The guy's in E9. You know, 1% of the Air Force make E9. And I'm already nervous. And I head in there and I have to tell him for the first time in my Air Force career, I can't do that, sir. And I tried to be kind and let him know why. Well, he didn't understand that at all. He took it really bad. It did not go well for me at all. But you know how I knew I had to make that decision? Knowledge that I had from God's Word. I knew it was the right decision to make. I didn't call call around. I knew it. I said, no, I can't do this. So I ended up just being a door guy for the day. Everywhere he went, I had to open his door. I said, I'm fine with that. I open his door everywhere he goes. That's not a problem, but I'm not doing that. But that also served as a light to others. I remember it was a few weeks later, the guy who in the office that I would end up spending a great amount of time in the accounting side of the house of my career field had come to me and said, at the staff meeting, what you did was brought up in the staff meeting. Again, there's times you'll be faced with different ethical decisions. That's where God's Word needs to come into play. Even in the simplest areas of our life. And nowadays, it's not necessarily something simple. I mean, you go out today and you're even trying to figure out, all right, what clothes do I need to buy? You better have principles from God's Word in making those decisions, not based on current fads. I brought up the issue of music for our church. The decision we're making there is based on knowledge from God's Word, not based on what's the current trend in local churches that we got from the latest annual meeting. It should affect our path. Ignorance can hurt your life, period. It really can, especially when you're ignorant of the Word of God. It breeds indecision and suspense in your life, Those are two things you don't want. The Word of God, by giving true knowledge, leads to correct decisions. And when you determine to follow those decisions, it guides your life. It becomes a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. You make it practical. It helps. It comforts. It gives peace. When you're at a place where you know how to make those decisions, there's a measure of peace that's there. Listen, we've all been there when you're indecisive. That's not a fun place to be. Knowledge of the Word of God is key in how to use it. Now, once you have that, look where he goes in 106, in the verse 106. I have sworn. He realizes what it does for him in verse 105. 106, we're still under the idea that God's Word gives direction. He said, I have sworn and I will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgments. Once you see the direction it can provide, you have to determine to follow it. He saw the importance, so he takes an oath. I have sworn. Now, we saw this, Jesus talk about such things in the Sermon on the Mount when we went through it, if you remember. And he said, let your yea be yea, your nay, nay. But he was dealing with, those were taking oaths because of what? What was the problem? It was lying was a problem. And so to strengthen one's words, they were constantly swearing by this and swearing by that to strengthen their words because they were full of deceit. We're not dealing with a man who's full of deceit. He's not coming at this before the Lord because his heart is deceitful. What he's saying is, he's recognizing his need for it. And he's saying, he is strengthening an oath. He's saying, because I recognize how important this is, I am telling you, I am doing this. There's a measure of resolve that comes into play. To determine to do it. Unless you resolve to do something, intent just won't get it done. In the morning, I can intend to get up at 5 a.m. But if I don't resolve to do it, I'm not getting up at 5 a.m. The alarm might even go off. But it's real easy just to tap that off button. You might intend to lose 250 pounds and by the end of the week you've gained 5. But it's different when you resolve to lose that weight. That's what he's saying here. I'm resolving to do this. We need to resolve to obey it, not just to intend to obey it. Not only does it give direction in our walk, we see in verse 107, it gives direction, and this is important, follow this, in our weakness. He says, I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according unto thy word. He knew how practical it was in his everyday walk, in him making life's decisions. Every day, day by night, it's going to make my decisions. I'm going to use instruction for it. Therefore, I'm going to get into the Word. I'm going to know your Word. I'm going to resolve to know it. But the Bible not only guides our direction, but it also helps in our affliction. And it does. His affliction was obviously affecting his spirit, his demeanor. He was down. We've already seen where he's battled depression. That's what he's dealing with. He wanted quicken. He wanted life. His spirit at times was completely overwhelmed by what he was facing. And he wanted life. He knew that the Bible would also give direction in his times of weakness. That's where he would go. To do this, you have to see the truth of God's word as more than just something that is good. Really. Or it will not be effective. You have to see it as something more than just what is good. You begin to have to see it, and I know it's used sometimes metaphorically, but you have to see it as life. You have to learn how to take God's word and be able to use it for what you're facing. And this is where we come to God's word. I said the very first message with presuppositions and where it hinders how we use it. I mean, sometimes when you think, I don't know what goes to your mind. Let me bring it up. I can think of different things I thought in my mind. You've heard of different people that sort of use the Bible almost in a quackery way. Just so weird. Where it just wasn't right. And sometimes that affects your approach to the Bible. Or you just never saw it practically played out in any example you've ever had. That's common in our country. I mean, we have an education system. We have all the answers to fix the decisions in our life apart from God's Word. Our churches do the same thing. We can go to the... I mean, if you want to learn how to build a church, just buy somebody's book. You don't need this one. So to do this, you have to see the truth of God's Word as more than just something good, but as life, as applying to you. I'm going to try and give a couple of steps in to see how this works and how this plays out. All right. Let's say you have maybe a work situation comes up or a family situation. Pick the trial. What he knew is with what he was facing, again, whoever was in Psalm 19, we know he's in a position of leadership. I really do believe it was Ezra. Again, I've already made my case why I believe it was Ezra. But if it's any three of those men, they were all in incredible places of responsibility. Whether it was David as king, Daniel as prime minister, or Ezra, who is trying to take people who have been in Babylon and reestablish a relationship with God and a walk with God with these people who have pretty much even forgotten the language for them, for that part. And so with what he was facing, the battles and the things up against him, depression would set in, his soul would be afflicted, and he needed life. So you're facing a situation, a work situation. But what you can do is you go to God's Word. Again, it's not just reading it. You're just going to sit down and read it and say, that didn't do much. It's beginning to see what's here. As you read, let me try and give an example of this. As you read, and there's nothing wrong, by the way, then, if you're facing something, is going to the Bible and finding areas that happen to deal with what you're facing. And you begin to learn things like this. All of a sudden, maybe you come across something as you're reading, you're facing this trial, that God is sovereign. Do you understand what peace that truth alone can give you? That regardless of what you're facing right now, God is in control. There is nothing, regardless of how out of control your life may be right now, none of it is out of His control. None of it. You begin to understand that you're in a relationship, not with somebody who isn't real, because if this is abstract to you, I assure you God is abstract to you. When God's abstract, you don't understand how you can have the faith in Him to help in the current situation. So you go to God's Word, you learn God is in control. He's sovereign. In other words, where I'm at right now is not a surprise to God. He knows where I'm at. It's not a surprise to Him. He knew you would be right there. Remember, and I'm not going to get into the whole story again, but boy, does it apply. I don't have it in my notes. But when we were struggling the first 6 months in New Guinea and no ministry was taking place, I didn't understand or agree with the majority of the things that was happening to me and my family those first 6 months. It wasn't fun. It wasn't pleasant. I mean, it was horrible stuff. What changed it all was simply a paradigm shift in my thinking. That's all it took. And the truth behind it that grabbed that was the reality that God was in control and He knew right where I was. It clicked. I was fine. God's in control of this. But as you read on, you learn that your life is but a vapor. You're here for such a short time. I mean, really, you begin to understand, you know, this is going to come to pass so quick. Soon this will all be history, all of it. It tries to take your life and put it in a proper perspective of what you're facing. Because if you don't get out of that, you're going to make wrong decisions. You're going to make decisions based on circumstance and not based on principle. It reminds you as you go through the Bible and you're reading of who you belong to. why you are here. What the Lord's trying to do is to help your thought process, to get you thinking straight again. Now, I'm still going to try and make it more practical. I know that's not enough. I don't think this will be comprehensive in it at all. But I'm still doing my best so you can actually try and begin to use the Word of God to be a help, and that we don't always turn to a pill. I remember, aside from that first 6 months, there was about two occasions that I can remember. It didn't happen often, really. I can only think of two times it happened. And to my knowledge, in the 12 years, it only happened two times. It was a brief time, but I knew I'd better figure something out quick. I remember one of them was after an evening service. We were there, and both works were struggling. This was shortly after Daniel had returned. And, you know, we've been here the number of years now, and it just wasn't looking as I wanted it to look. It wasn't there. I remember I was sitting in the house. It was dark outside, and just a wave of depression had hit. It was so strong. I mean, right? Literally in an instant, it was there. It wasn't there 1 second, but boy, was it there the very next second. And as I allowed that to hit, I'm just thinking, I don't want to be sitting here in this jungle right now. I don't want to be here. You know, the thoughts would hit, if they don't want this, then I'm gone. You know, different things of, and now I'm trying to use different things all of a sudden to try and justify all kinds of things. And I realized, well, I got to stop this. One, it feels horrible. You want out of it now. There's no fun in it whatsoever. You just want out of that thought process. And I knew just from experience, from the knowledge I had, I'm looking at this wrong. I'm seeing it from the wrong point of view. I've just allowed my mind to get to a place that it shouldn't be in looking at this situation and how it should not be. And so I had to go back. I had to remember, just the same thing. Lord's in control of this. I am right where He wants me to be. Going back over to how He called me there, how I know this is where I'm supposed to be. Meditating upon those things of God. And you know what? You begin to see where it does begin to quicken you. Difficult times will come, and how we view them directly affects our spirit. The Bible, what it does is the Lord's not ignorant. He knows exactly how He created you emotionally. He's not ignorant of that. He knows what causes the different emotions in our life. He's not ignorant. One of the reasons for this book is to guide you through that. When your soul is afflicted. What the Bible does is it tries to remind you of a correct point of view. A correct way to look at the situation. Really, and that's what counseling does. It's just trying to have that paradigm shift in your thinking. To try and get you to see this from a different perspective. Again, the key is many times seeing the current distress as something light, not major. That's not always easy. The greatest example in the Bible of this, who was always an encouragement to me, was the Apostle Paul, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Amazing. And he battled depression, by the way. The greatest Christian who ever lived had the same battle in his life. There were times his soul was afflicted. But boy, did that guy know how to get a hold of the Word of God and get out of it. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he lays that out. He goes through everything he's been through in the ministry. And it's horrible. I mean, it's just horrible. I mean, it's nothing like, man, sign me up. I can't wait to travel with the guy. And he finishes and he refers to all of that as his light affliction. He was able, in a very real way, to view his circumstances, the hardness of his circumstances, mind you, as something light. That's what the Lord wants to do with the circumstances you face. He wants to remind you what you're facing is actually light. That it's not nearly as heavy as you think it is. In order to see an affliction as light, you have to see something that is greater. Or you never will. That change can occur. This is what the Bible does in a practical way. It allows you to see something greater. So often, current circumstances, especially distresses, blind you to certain realities. By the way, this isn't only distress that's true about the statement I just made. That's also when you're doing very well. Those circumstances can blind you to realities. Just ask the Laodicean church. But so often, current circumstances can blind you to certain realities. And the distress, though, can seem overwhelming. What the Word of God can do is try and change that thinking. A lot of this comes down to a key word. The most talked about word in the New Testament. Faith. We're not talking faith in general. What you have faith in is important. The reality of God in your life. The ability to go to Him as your counselor. The ability to know that He is there. Those first six months in New Guinea, I would have said, I know God is there. But it didn't click. It didn't click. I mean, I wasn't planning on leaving or anything like that. But I wasn't a happy person. I didn't understand why this was taking place. And then I had to realize, wait, God is real? This isn't a fairy tale. The Creator of the universe put me here. He knows exactly what I'm doing, exactly what's going on. You can see this in the life of Job. How he maintained his sanity in everything that took place in his life. Same place we're going to see here. He was able to esteem the words of God more than his necessary food. The devil wants the Bible to remain abstract to you. Let it be a good book. Just don't learn how to apply it. The Bible's there to help you get your mind thinking right. This is why you can have joy in the midst of a trial. As Paul said, he said, for our light affliction worketh but for a moment. What he realized is his life was but a vapor. He knew, right now, I'm in the middle of this. Whether I'm shipwrecked or they're beating my back 39 times, or they're going to throw me in prison, I have no idea if they're going to execute me. One day, soon, regardless of what happens, it's all over with. What he measured his circumstance against was a scriptural view of eternity. So in other words, where did he get that knowledge? From the Word of God. He got the knowledge of eternity. He was able to apply that in decisions in his life on an everyday basis as he went through ministry, as he went through suffering, as he went through trials. And what he concluded was this, my light affliction. What I'm going through really isn't nothing. When I think of everything that is going to take place, this is a light affliction. In order to see something that you're going through, a current distress is light, you have to see something greater that makes it light. And then you can see it in perspective. This is what this book does. In other words, so as you read it, comes the meditation in God's Spirit. Because if you're saved, you have God's Spirit indwelling within you. Here's how this works. Let me just stay with the sovereignty aspect. There's many different ways we can go with this. There's so much in the Bible there is there for comfort. So you come across the sovereignty aspect of God, then you meditate upon it. In relation to what you're facing. What does it mean? How does it help? You meditate upon it. Do you understand of God's love for you, of His desire to help you think right through that? There's not another person, from your pastor to your parents to some other counselor, that desires more for you to be right than God. No one. God will guide. God's word does give direction in our weakness. Our service unto the Lord does not screen us from trial, but it certainly secures us in it. Verse 108 now. Wow, I don't know if I'm going to get through this or not. We're going to stop right there. I just realized what time it was. We still have the thing tonight. We'll get through this. We're going to pick up. We still haven't finished with the very first point here. We're going to see next it gives us direction in our worship as well. We've seen it in our walk and our weakness. Next is our worship. And then we'll get on to the other points in 2 weeks.